You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to We're Listening to Podcast, a community where all voices are heard. I'm your host, Rob Cook. Join me for a lighthearted show about the human experience with live conversations, discussions, and interviews of some of the newest to the most established 3P practitioners from all over the world. So no matter if you've known the three principles for years or you're new to Daily Insights, we hope each episode will inspire you to demonstrate a community where all voices are heard. Welcome to today's episode.
Welcome, 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 everyone. We are back in the saddle. New episodes, fresh, amazing, and new faces, because we are taking this from the audio only to video as well. So ladies and gentlemen, everybody who's listening, if you can hear me, join me in a warm round of applause for Steve Hopper. How you doing, man?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. Yeah.
The south of London, huh?
Yeah. So I live on the south coast of England, but my partner lives in South London, and I'm currently in Brixton Hill, looking out over the sun setting over the rooftops and chimneys of Brixton, South London.
What's the weather like now?
Grey and very unstable. the south of Europe's getting all the good weather. I say good. To be honest, I don't really fancy 40 Celsius. So I'm quite happy with a bit of wet and soggy weather right now, to be honest, rather than that. So.
Oh, man, no, I loved every bit of the sun when I was there recently. I loved it. I hated the rain and the gray skies. I didn't want no parts of that.
Yeah, no, I feel you.
Too funny. Well, before we get into, you know, all of that I was talking about, our time in London and things like that, I want you to take a minute and kind of introduce yourself to the community. Let them know a little bit about you. They're going to fall in love with you. It's just what we do here, you know. But yeah, let them know a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so I'm a transformational coach. I've been coaching for 10 years or so, and it's been my main thing for four or five years now. I'm also an artist. I'm actually from a technical background originally in government, technical security, communications, technical security, and technical counter-espionage, and then I ended up freelancing as a sound engineer in the music business, traveling all over the world, mixing sound for various artists, including Van Morrison and various other people you won't probably have heard of. But and I've been a freelance photographer, filmmaker, graphic designer, brand consultant, and various other things. But now I focus on the coaching, and I exhibit my own work as a photographer with some writing, and occasionally, as the wind takes me, a bit of poetry as well. But I did an exhibition last year, and which I love putting on, love creating, and finding the connections between my work as a photographer and writer and the conversations I'm in every day with people as a coach.
Yeah, I can see how that makes you interesting as hell. Like, if you just think about all the different things that you've done, and to be able to bring that through in your coaching or in photography has gotta be pretty cool.
Yeah. I people use the term portfolio career, and I was doing that before anyone came up with the term. So I had a proper job, as I call it, one of those ones where you show up and get paid every month. Until I was 30. So for the first 12 years of my life, I worked for the British government. And then after that, it's been freelance ever since. And following trails of opportunity and possibility, and occasionally driven by financial desperation or survival. I've done so many different things. I think I missed out that I was in a startup business, which was an interesting fusion of motorsport, computer gaming, and brand communication. But that kind of died in 2009 with the financial crisis. So everything just stopped with that, and I lost my shirt. So I've been through the startup business mill as well.
Oh man! So there is a fabric and a through line throughout to all of those. Yeah. What I love is, I've been talking about this a lot lately with failure not existing, and failure just being a reference point that says go to something new, try something fresh. At some point, doing so many things, it sounds like you just found a repetition to work through it and keep on moving to something else.
Yeah, there has been a common thread, which is being from a technical background, but also being an artist, a musician, and very visual. Most of the work that I've done has been in the fusion of the creative backed by technical skills. So I've been a lot of people's technical and production support. I've done a lot of work helping other artists and other creatives, including mixing sound for shows, where you're in service of other people's art and performance. So it was really actually when doing the show of my own last year, like putting on my own photography show, was a real step. Like, it was actually really huge for me personally. It wasn't a huge show, but personally, it was a really big thing to actually use all of my skills and talents to bring into being something that I created myself. That was great. But the through line is definitely the weaving together of technical and creative stuff. And then 15 years ago, I had a major meltdown. I had a full-on grade A personal meltdown of my mental health, and brought on through all sorts of things, but a lot of stress. That's when, after recovering from that, I discovered transformational work, holistic transformational work. And so since then, the movement has been progressively bringing my love for people and this conversation, the transformational conversation, to people.
I could feel that about you. And you're a yogi as well, correct?
Kind of, yeah. I'm about as flexible as a pile of cinder blocks strung together with steel cables. particular kind of unbendy yoga, but at heart, I'm a yogi.
At heart, the essence. That's so funny. But you spoke about that meltdown. You mind kind of digging at it a little bit for
this? Absolutely, yeah. Please, yeah.
So my darkest times were the best thing that ever happened to me, because they laid a path in front of me. Yes, it was hard, but I got to a point to really experience true healing of my heart and my mind. So there's no comparison now. It is a known thing of walking out of darkness into light for me during my hard times. What did those times feel like for you?
At the time, they were hell.
Yeah, I agree.
So I came from a very religious background. My father was a Baptist pastor. Lovely, really good people, very kind, beautiful people, but living in a very small bubble. And I kind of left the Christian faith in my 20s. And one of the things I realized is hell on earth is created in here internally. Like when you've really been through a personal hell of a mind that has become unchained. Like I described it once as being like a passenger on the mind plane, and it's flying somewhere not good. Like that was the experience of like a mind that is so distressed by what it's creating, as I would now see it. It was so distressed by itself, so divided against itself, that was a living hell. And that people talk about hell like something after life. You know, I've got no idea above that. That's way above my pay grade, heaven or hell. But I've been in a living hell, not a dead one. And it was not good. And I was very good at keeping it to myself, which was part of the thing. You know, one of the things I love, there's a lot of really screwed up things going on in our world, but one of the things that is really good that's going on in our world is the breaking open of all of the taboos around mental health and well-being, particularly for guys.
Yeah, I agree.
Because it is so dangerous as a young man to show strong feeling and show emotion in our culture, and to show weakness and to show vulnerability. You know, other kids, when you're a teenager, they smell vulnerability like sharks smelling blood. Yeah. And it's just too dangerous. And the fact that that is now breaking open and changing is a great thing. You know, that it's everywhere you go, you hear about men who are discovering that it's actually okay to talk about what's going on for them. But I really wasn't okay with it. And that's part of why I went down so badly.
Oh, totally understand that. And I wasn't okay with talking about it as well. So first time we met was 3P UK conference.
Last summer.
Okay,
yeah.
Last summer. Yeah. So from that spot, what kind of happened that got us to the same conference at the same time?
You mean since then?
What was happening that got you to the conference?
Okay, right. So I first came across transformational work about 12 or 13 years ago at a place in London called the Concord Institute, which is a educational foundation that's been running since the 1970s. And when it originally started up, it was like where macrobiotics and whole foods came to London from Boston and Japan and San Francisco. And the people that set it up were people who had discovered whole foods and macrobiotic well-being and energy work in America. And they came to London and they set up a center. And then in the 90s, a new director came and he'd worked in the early days of EST and the forum with Werner Erhard. And so it became like a holistic transformational education foundation, and mixing together whole foods, macrobiotics, a culinary school, energy work, yoga, breath work, but also transformational dialogue type programs, starting with like an open access weekend, but then some in-depth, like a curriculum of different sort of in-depth programs that you came and you participated in. But then one of the three-month courses that you get a coach who works with you, who's a volunteer. And so I thought I'd like to do that, give back something back to the organization. So I trained as a volunteer coach and I found my thing. I thought, I've just met the future. I've just met my future itself.
You know, love that.
So I just found that I loved it. And it was a natural, I was just very natural at it. So I did, I trained and worked a good deal there on a voluntary basis, coaching, and then did some other professional training as a, you know, and so about five years ago, I was listening to an audio book of Steve Chandler, and he mentioned Michael Neal, and I'd not heard of Michael Neal, and he mentioned Michael Neal's talk on TEDx, the Why Aren't We Awesomer? And so I went and listened to that and watched that. And I just loved it. I loved how there wasn't anything brand new in what Michael was saying, but the way he said it and the way he communicated it was just the clearest, briefest exposition of how our reality is created internally. And so I discovered Michael's work. So I've done a number of programs with Michael, and then discovered in George Pransky, and I did the Insight Principles training course with Ken Manning and Robin Charbit 3 years ago. And so that's how I came across the principles and Sid Banks and that world. And that's how I ended up at 3P UK last summer. And that's when we met.
What I love so much about that journey is the many different ways mind was at play. like the universal intelligence behind life. Was that play orchestrating a series of events of unraveling for you, removing every veil to ultimately being able to see your innate health and well-being?
Man. And I think what I loved when I discovered Michael's work, I actually said this to him one time in one of our seminars, webinars. You know, when you go to the ophthalmologist, I think you call them, and say, so you need to get your eyes tested and measured. And they stick that big rig.
Absolutely.
They put that big rig on your head and you look like Joe 90 with all these kind of machines and stuff over you. And they click in different lenses and try them out and say, and you're reading off the chart and you can never see the bottom line of the chart. And then suddenly, clink, and it's like, oh my God, that's what it's supposed to look like.
Yeah.
It's like this crystal sharp clarity. And there's something about the principles and what Sid Banks saw and how he communicated it, and particularly how Michael communicated it when I first heard him, where it's just like, oh my God, it's just a whole different, it was like putting glasses on when you really need glasses. And it's like, it wasn't that you couldn't see, but suddenly it was like ching, like really sharp and clear and defined and beautiful. Yeah. And what a relief as well.
Yeah, Big Homie is good at that, man. He, I love watching him teach. I love watching him do his thing, because I learned so much from him, you know.
Yes, absolutely. And watching Michael work with other people, there's such a permission in how he works to lean back. What I call, in branding, we used to talk about lean in. There are some things you do that are lean in because you bring your energy forward and you're focusing and you're kind of, and there are some things that it's way better to lean out and lean back.
Mm.
Michael has such a beautiful, he models lean back in the sense of like, so for instance, the intensive he did with you over that 3 days, the videos of that, you guys have sat there in big armchairs. You may as well have had a glass of whiskey. I don't think you did. But it was so damn chilled. It was so chilled.
Yeah.
And there was such a permission in that. And such, it makes so much sense. Our radar works so much better and our listening is so much better when we lean back and relax and when we're in that floating orientation rather than swimming and paddling. You know what I mean? And Michael just personifies that. He demonstrates that so beautifully in how he teaches and works with people and interacts with people. But he is also a brilliant writer. I mean, his ability to use words in writing that just communicate so clearly, remarkable. Yeah, and how beautiful is that? Because then you bring something that's uniquely, the light comes through as somebody once said, the stained glass window that you are like, no, the light has never come through quite the same way it will come through someone else. You know, when you really are operating in the full range of your abilities. And you know what's so important? For me, there's a humor and the lightness of touch. I first heard and learned from this from Alan Watts. He said something in one of his books. No, it was in a talk on meditation. And he said, I have a lot of trouble communicating this when I talk about spirituality because everyone seems to think we're supposed to be so serious. And you've got to know that I'm not a serious man. In fact, I don't actually think the universe is serious. This is Alan Watts. Because after all, if you think it's serious, it must be because you think it really matters. And if it really matters, it's really important. You're holding it all with a weight. I can't remember his exact words, but we give things a weight and an importance that means we're missing the point somewhere or other.
Yeah, yeah.
And that somebody like Alan Watts, with all his amazing insight, and again, a brilliant, brilliant writer, but he'd say, I don't actually think the universe is serious. Yeah. You know, is it serious? he regarded that question as one of the most profound philosophical questions. Is it serious? Is life serious? And his conclusion was it's not. And you could see he had a little twinkle in his eye, like a Zen master.
Yeah.
He didn't actually quite give a shit.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he was so sincere and so committed. And he laid the foundations. Alan Watts' work laid the foundations for so much work that we take for granted now.
I listened to a bunch of his old recordings, and I do remember that presence he used to have, you know, when he spoke and the things that he talked about. And you're right. When Don Miguel Ruiz wrote a book called The Five Levels of Attachment, I think it was Junior, actually. I think it was his son. He narrated Audible.
Right.
But he was talking about the attachment we put on sports team as an analogy.
Yeah.
He said, so say me and you go to a soccer game or a football, as you call it, right? We go to a football game and I'm just going for my first time. You just want me to see soccer, right?
Yeah.
We just go to the stadium and see whoever's playing for me to take. That's all we got, you know? And at no time, there is no preference. You just want to see me fall in love with soccer. We watch the game in a way. But then the moment you take me to your favorite team's soccer game, that experience becomes different because you're narrating to me the game of soccer through your preference for that team. Your team is doing it good. That team is doing it bad. The refs, you know, don't like your team. So I learned soccer through your attachment to your team. And if that attachment is light, great. But if it's more internalized, then when your team loses, you're having a bad day. When your team, nothing you control about your team playing now, but you have a bad day. The best days to get things from you, like money, time, and love, is when your team is winning, right?
Internalization.
And then he says the last level of attachment is a fanatic. Somebody who is just so consumed that their entire life is about this team.
Their identity has got just totally entangled.
And I was like, oh my God, that's the state of mind of everything. Mm. Whether it's your trauma narrative, whether it's your accomplishment narrative, whether it's your achievement narrative, all of it is a level of attachment in which you have that, as we said earlier, is it meaningful, baby? Is it you know? But our love for, you know, the photography, all of that is a narrative that you know, we have some level of attachment to because we've had experiences with it, you know, feelings.
Yeah. That lightness of touch, that sincerity without seriousness.
Yeah.
Like by seriousness, I mean hanging weights all over it.
Yeah.
Michael, last year for creating the impossible at the beginning of 2022, he did a bolt-on for CTI called Making Money Fun. He nailed it in his opening video. He nailed it saying, I was thinking about this and I should have called it Not Making Money, Not Fun. In other words, we make it so unfun, we make it so not fun. If we could just stop making money not fun, we wouldn't really have to work very hard at making it fun, but it's the fact that we make it. And I love that because we make everything so heavy and intense and weighty. Yes. And then we wonder, how can we lighten this up? And it's a bit like I used to, another thing on my CV, I used to crew for a commercial ballooning company. And just in my spare time for free flights. But, you know, ballooning is an amazing thing, but it's a lot easier flying a hot air balloon if you're not hanging loads of half-ton weights off the bottom of the damn thing. You know, like lift is a lot more of a natural thing. And we make everything so heavy and so intense, having come from a very Victorian kind of religious background. And from also some of the transformational work I've done is pretty, you know, intense, like not a bunch of fun. And I actually I try now and keep things really as light as I can.
That's why this podcast is a lighthearted approach. That's it.
Talking of light, I'm going to turn some lights on because evening is drawing in here. One second.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sorry about that. I've been relegated to a teenager's bedroom in the attic in this house. It's the only quiet place to have a conversation with you. So it's
No, I was just saying that that's why we are a lighthearted approach. You know, it's kind of like kids. Kids are our example because we learn to be serious.
Yes.
You know, we learn the behaviors of it matters. We learn to believe it matters and things like that.
Yes.
And it's so funny you say that because the children just be.
Yes. Like,
with little pretense. You know, with little pretense. Yeah. And there is a way to exist as a as an adult human being with little pretense as well.
Yes.
So that, that's the beauty.
Can we do a double backflip into something that you mentioned a few minutes ago, which is about the way the sort of fortuitous interweaving of how things happen that lead people to certain places, like, you know, like for instance how we ended up meeting at 3P UK.
Mm-hmm.
One of the I think about this is a lot because this is how I tend to meet clients, is through fortuitous happy accidents where, so let me go back just a moment. So we look back at the path that our course has taken, you know, the path we've taken. We use phrases like, oh, my path to here was basically I did this and I did that and I went there and then did that. And we look back and we retrospectively superimpose a narrative on that. Like we make it mean, you know, like that's what I did and that's how I ended up here. And then we look forward into the future, which doesn't exist, but we make a map of how it should, how we think best, we our best guess at how it should. So we try and engineer forward on a premise, on a false premise that we actually engineered what's happened. But the vast, if you look at what you actually, what brought you where you, to where you are, most of it was decisions you made based on something that happened, really a sequence of happy accidents and things that could not have been predicted in advance. Yeah. People you met, just even like where you were born, who you were born to, your parents, what they were like, where they lived, what was going on economically, socially, culturally, where you grew up, your early education that you had no choices in, all of those things that have massive influence in how our life shapes up. You think you did that, you know, like you met like that was a managed process. You got to be kidding. It was just barely contained chaos for most of us. And also, when we were listening, or when a window opened up and a possibility opened up and we had the courage to jump out of it blind, some of the most interesting things happened. Or where we really screwed up and something, you know, some really not so great things happened. But it was not planned, it was not engineered, but we superimpose a narrative on it like it means something.
Yeah.
And then we think that's what we've got to do going forward. And life, there's just too many variables in the universe for that.
Oh, yeah.
No. You know, you cannot engineer your way forward into the unknown emerging future. That doesn't mean there are things that can't be engineered and crafted, but it's an emergent process, which means that like an engineered process, before you set out, 95% of the variables are ironed out before you even start out from an engineered process. But you know from your military background, you think it might be that, but actually it turned out that you knew less than 5% of what was going to happen.
Exactly. It's, again, it's the same thing as I said earlier with that learned behavior. How it really works is just that. It comes through us. You know, we may think, you know, we may think it was, or we attribute it to something else.
Yeah.
But the truth is, it's that unknowing, because that's pushed the brink of learning. That was the beginning of something new. That was, you know,
yes.
If you didn't fall on trying to walk, you wouldn't have understood the process. You know, it's like, the reason emerging through, as you said earlier, is so much more powerful, I believe, is because it's just what I've experienced. It's just the truth of my experience. It's not saying anyone has to have the same. It's understanding the creative power of thought, that I get to be aware of how I want to use my power, my gift, you know?
Yeah.
I choose to identify with these things. I'm a Lakers fan.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean think about me, doesn't say anything, doesn't tell you if I'm a good human being or not. It's just a small, simple preference of teams when I watch a sport I like. I'm okay with that, you know, and things like that. So,
Now, there was a British poet called Keats from the sort of 18th century. And I don't know much about poets of his generation or their poetry, but I came across this quote from a letter that he wrote to a friend, where he was talking about why he thought Shakespeare was such a genius, what he was such a brilliant writer. And he said he's got lots of what I call negative capability, which is the ability to be in uncertainty, mystery, and doubt, I'm quoting word for word, without the irritable reaching for fact and reason.
The space
now, you think about that. The ability to be in uncertainty, I don't know. Mystery, I can't see. Doubt, which is all of the natural human responses to uncertainty and mystery. The ability to be with all of those, he called that negative capacity, or negative capability, I think was his word for it, phrase for it. Without resisting the temptation for the irritable reaching for fact and reason, because we think fact and reason, psychologically, we think fact and reason makes us feel safe.
Yeah.
And so our more rational, logical faculty wants to hold on. Just don't give me all that intuitive nonsense. Give me some facts. Give me numbers. give me facts. Give me. And it's like, well, good luck in an organic world where everything is so in flux, so in movement.
Yeah.
And the ability to stand on the prow of the boat as the unknown future emerges towards us, and to actually not just be okay, but really delight in uncertainty, in not knowing, in mystery, in not being able to see, and to have the capacity to hold a space for all of the natural misgivings and doubts and fears and concerns and insecurities that come with the experience of not seeing and not knowing.
I agree.
What a beautiful thing.
Yeah, yeah. We think not knowing means that what we will face, we're going to be ill-prepared for.
Yes.
That's the big fear. But by virtue of definition,
love that.
You know, by virtue of definition of unknown, we can't really be afraid of it. So what we are afraid of is what we think the unknown means. I won't be prepared for this moment. I will be void of resources. I won't be able to think of it right on my feet. I need time to prep. All of the learned behaviors that we went through that have protected us. I won't knock them. At some point, they protected us. That's how they became part of the system, the defense system. But it's realizing they're a system. You know, realizing they're conditioning, because there's a space you have access to that, just like you said, is free of judgment. You could really just be. You know,
yes,
it's the zone. It's how you're snapping pictures, and you know when you snap it, that's the picture. You know, you don't even have
the money shot.
Yeah, the money shot. That's the same thing. You know, it's just different language, but everybody kind of knows it when they feel it. You know. Yes. But man, I really, really, really appreciate you stopping by and just blessing us with all the many different jobs you've had over the time. But I want to put you on the spot one last time. And two things I would like from you. One is telling everybody what you have on offer so they could find you. Like I said, you've been a coach for over a decade. I've seen you in the Genius Catalyst program, you know. So, you know, tell them what you have on offer there.
Okay.
But then leave us with some words of wisdom that kind of pulls in all the various things you've done throughout your life.
Yeah.
And leave us on a note of inspiration.
Yeah. Okay. So I have a website, a coaching website. People can read a bit about me. And that's Stephen with a PH, stephenhopper.org, O-R-G. And we'll post that up with this recording, presumably, will we? People can contact me through there, read a bit about the work that I do as a coach. I also have an online version of my photography exhibition from last year, which is called Lo and Behold. And the website for that is lo-and-behold.online, which is a bit of a mouthful as well. So we'll post that up. And the exhibition was at multiple levels. On one level, it's an exhibition of photography from where I live, mainly from where I live on the coast, of sea and sky and light and color. And it's what I call, it's not storytelling photography. It's very textured. And I have I'm fascinated by, I have the privilege of living on the coast of the English Channel and facing south. And in the winter, when the sun is low and travels a low arc, it rises straight out of the sea and it sets into the sea. And in the meantime, you can have 100 different scenery changes in every hour. And sometimes it's so dynamic. And so it's mainly the exhibition is photographs of that. But at the next level down, there is a narrative in the exhibition, which is that we don't see what's there. We see what we already know is there. Krishnamurti, he said, the day you teach the child the name of a bird, the child will never see the bird again. What he meant by that is once we know what something's called, we think we know what it is. We're no longer in relationship with the entity or the creature or the person or the environment, the landscape directly. We're in relationship with our knowledge of it. We're in an indirect relationship. We've gone into our heads. And so we don't see the actual creature. We don't see the landscape. We don't see the sun and the sea or the cloud. We see what we already know is there. And part of what I wanted to do with the exhibition was use photography almost like a meditation for people to see past what it is that they think they're looking at and just see the incredible textures and colors and the visual poetry of what happens in nature when we freeze it with a still photograph. Still photography is my thing, not film. But that was my aim there, was to capture the visual poetry and to use that to help people see behind the imagery and into a deeper transformational conversation. And then at another level, there was some poetry there that I'd written and a few quotes from various people, including Alan Watts and others, talking about the unseeable, unsayable behind everything, behind the forms. And that behind our love of the forms, there is an unsayable love that finds its way out, seeps out through us, and expresses itself through us in all kinds of ways. And that that for me, the imagery speaks of that. It's very hard to put into words, but that was a pretty ambitious aim for the show, was to say the unsayable in pictures and in words, with some of my own experience in life woven in there as well. So in the photography exhibition online, there's an online version of that with some of the, with all the photographs, but also some of the poetry and the writing that went with it.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. For more information about the podcast, please go to 3pgc.org. If you're looking for more information about how to become a practitioner, or you want to be featured on the show as a new, fresh voice in the principles, send us an email at info@3pgc.org. We'd love to hear from you. Knowing there is no end or limitation, nor are there boundaries to the human mind, have the day you deserve.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.